No involvement of loyalists, then no legacy deal. That is a warning from leading loyalist Winston Irvine. The PUP spokesman has been setting out his thoughts on EamonMalley.com, the website, of course. He says that excluding loyalists from a legacy process will sabotage any progress on how we engage and deal with the past. Secretary of State James Brokensire recently said that making progress on these issues of the past is one of his key priorities. He's been meeting with political parties and groups representing victims and survivors, but loyalists say they didn't get an invite. We will hear from Winston Irvine in a few minutes, but first, journalist Brian Rowan is on the line. Good morning, Brian.
Hi, Evany. Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead with your thoughts on this.
Well, you've said what it is. It's an article written by Winston Irvine on the EamonMalley.com website. I saw it described on Twitter last night as a thoughtful article, but it also delivers a blunt message. Its theme is the exclusion of loyalists from the legacy talks, and it deals with the consequences and the implications of that. So Winston Irvine writes, and you mentioned a little bit of this in the introduction, Vinny, to exclude loyalists from a legacy process, just as to exclude any other stakeholder, is to impede and to sabotage any progress on how we engage and deal with the past. He writes that there is no one at the table, either willing or able, to represent the interests and the needs of the loyalist community. He continues in that article by saying we must be wary of a process that pits information recovery against police investigation. So again, that argument that you can't have both investigation and information retrieval. The intention within a legacy structure is to have an historical investigations unit and an independent commission for information retrieval. Winston Irvine also describes the need for honesty about what really can be achieved for victims and survivors. So pointing there, I suppose, to the danger of false expectations, of overselling a process in terms of what it can and will deliver.
Are you surprised, Brian, by anything that you've read in this article?
Well, it's a blunt statement, and we have known, and you and I have discussed it, the fact that that loyalists have been knocking on the door of the legacy talks, but have considered themselves to be locked out. The Secretary of State, James Brokenshire, last Friday evening signalled that there would be a public phase or consultation on the legacy questions. Now, I imagine people will want to know what they can expect in terms of cooperation with such a process. And my question, and I suppose the question of many others, is how could you even pretend to know what can be expected from loyalists when they are outside this process, not involved, not being engaged, or informed in terms of the discussions and the fine detail of the design of the process.
Can you foresee any, in the immediate future, Brian, any change in plan, an invitation being extended?
Well, I think the idea that there is only one issue that has to be resolved, the question of national security and what information will be revealed and withheld, is frankly a nonsense. There are many people out there who will want to know what can be expected from loyalists, what can be expected from the IRA, and no one can give a clear answer on that. So before any consultation, I think there should be a discussion with all of those whose cooperation with this process is needed. And that phase of discussion, in my opinion, should be conducted by someone international and independent, should be with the government, should be with people in security, police, military, intelligence, IRA and loyalists, and its purpose should be to properly and accurately inform people, especially those waiting for answers and information, what they can realistically expect. Will any of that happen? I don't know. But if you're going to a public consultation and if the public have questions, you need to be in a position to answer those questions. And I think as things stand, there is no way that anyone within that process could give anyone a clear answer on what is expected from loyalists, the IRA, or in terms of the fine detail of what will be revealed and withheld in terms of national security. There are more talks planned on Monday, as I understand it, Vinny. The Secretary of State, I think, will be meeting the Ulster Unionists, meeting Sinn Féin. But this article clearly is intended by Winston Irvine to say to the Secretary of State and others within that process, don't forget about us. And if you do forget about us, meaning the loyalist community, then this process is not going to work.
Okay, Brian, we'll leave it there with yourself. Thank you very much. That's journalist Brian Rowan. Winston joins us on the line now as well. Good morning, Winston.
Good morning, Tony.
You say in this, loyalists are being excluded. Who exactly do you mean?
Well, for many loyalists, because of their absence from the formative stages of a legacy design process, expectations of revisiting and re-examining the past, I think, are likely to be diced even before this process gets off the ground. I'm talking about protagonists. I'm talking about combatants. I'm talking about the loyalist organisations, for however you judge them, who were involved in a conflict here, who have been literally kept out of the room and cut out of the...
So you mean former paramilitaries?
Indeed. And I'm also meaning, equally important, victims and survivors from a loyalist background, because there are many. And there has been no voice for them during these discussions. No one at that table, as it sits, will represent the voices, the views, or the concerns and the needs and interests of the loyalist community. That much is clear.
You mean victims and survivors of paramilitaries?
I mean victims and survivors within the loyalist community, of people who have been shot dead because of security forces. I mean people who have lost loved ones due to Republican violence. I mean
surely, though, Winston, some would say that they're represented by victims' groups.
Well, to be quite honest with you, and with respect to those victims' groups out there, some of which are very well organised, I don't see a working-class, urban victim voice purporting to represent working-class loyalist victims and survivors, with respect.
When we talk about working-class Protestants, Winston, in general, the DUP and the UUP, surely they would claim that they represent them?
I think they would argue that they have a mandate for representing areas that are deemed working-class areas. But on this particular issue, I think if you were to ask any DUP negotiator, have they been actively during negotiations trying to represent the views, the concerns, the needs and interests of loyalists, you will get a very different answer if you were to ask them, do they represent the working class people in general?
When we go back to this article, Winston, from EamonMalley.com, it says in here, you say in here, without all stakeholders being provided with an opportunity to participate, a legacy process will do little more than pay lip service to the needs of victims and will do nothing to provide the outcome they may wish to see.
Yeah.
Explain that for me.
Well, I think the decision to exclude and isolate loyalists, once again, it reinforces the glaringly obvious design fault, you know, from every other attempt at designing a legacy process. We have not learnt yet that you need to have all protagonists in the room. Otherwise, when it comes to trying to search for those truths, trying to uncover vital information and trying to bring some kind of closure, if that's not too much to expect. Where are you going to get that in terms of the contribution that loyalism has to make? Because loyalism has been a main protagonist during this conflict and have obviously been involved in conflict, obviously have been involved in major violence. And therefore, anyone who expects loyalism to be excluded and isolated and kept out of discussions and then brought in their room to be given platitudes, I think, quite frankly, are living in cloud cuckoo land.
So no invite then, no information?
Well, I actually think that this is doing a huge disservice to the victims and survivors community as well, because you can't on the one hand say that this is going to be a victim-centred approach and then have one of those main protagonists that victims and survivors will rely upon in terms of bringing forward vital information, not being involved in that process. I think that's deeply unfair and very misleading in terms of this pronouncement that this is going to be a victim-centred approach. So how can you expect loyalism to come to the table if they haven't been invited.
We'll take your calls on this shortly. 030 30 80 55 55. Winston, what do you say to people, some people that might be listening to this and say you have no mandate, you have no rights to be in talks with the Secretary of State?
Well, look, you know, there are many people, you know, many interest groups who have been invited into these talks, who are being actively represented in these talks. It's clear that Republicans, Sinn Féin, will look after victims groups. They don't have a mandate. It's clear that the DUP will look after, by and large, the security forces and those victims groups. The British and Irish will obviously look after their interests. But there is nobody looking after the interests of the loyalist community. And therefore, this isn't about mandates. This is about making sure all protagonists, whether they have a mandate or not, are inside a process that can deliver the outcomes that everyone desires.
Some would still, they would go back to that. They might even ask how the PUP did recently on elections.
I think, quite frankly, that's a red herring.
Well, how did the PUP, just remind us how they did do in elections?
Well, this isn't, I'm not on to talk about the PUP, Vinny, this morning. I'm on to talk about a blog that I've written in relation to the legacy of the past. I think they could stay tracked and to go down a road about the elections, which were, you know, a number of months ago, is quite frankly a waste of time.
Of course, although I understand what you're saying about certain groups that will be in these talks, but some will still say if you need to have a reason to be there, a mandate, a group of people behind you that's significant, that, you know, entitles you to be there. So what, to people that would question that, I'm not saying I do, but to people that would question that, what do you say to them?
Well, I say to them that there are other groups, there are other interests that are being represented that don't have a mandate either. So, you know, if you're going to apply this logic, let's apply it across the board then. But the case remains, there is no voice for the loyalist community during these processes. And that is clear. And we have learned nothing from the almost, I think it's 5 attempts now to get a legacy process off the ground. So why, the question must be asked, why is there a deliberate exclusion of loyalists in relation to legacy? I think that's a very fair and legitimate question. And people need to give us answers.
So you are saying, though, that the DUP and the UUP, they don't represent any loyalists?
In relation to the legacy of the past, I don't think the DUP or the UUP are either able or willing to represent the views or the interests of the loyalist community.
But of course, there are many that would say, you know, you're talking about the legacy of the past, but there are many that would say that they do represent working class loyalists.
Yeah, but look, let's not confuse the two issues here, you know.
But these are two separate issues, but I understand what you're saying, but they're one and the same in some elements, in that the DUP, UUP would say they have a mandate for loyalists.
Well, the easy way to clear this up, to see, you know, where the accuracy lies on this point, is to ask a DUP, have they been and are they willing and able to represent in negotiations loyalist paramilitaries, the loyalist community, and the victims and survivors from a loyalist background during these discussions? That's a serious.
Yeah, they may not. They may say that they don't represent loyalist paramilitaries, but they would say that they represent loyalist people. So people that feel that they fit into that category, that, you know, they maybe vote for the DUP or the UUP.
Well, so then ask them the question, and are they prepared to represent victims of a loyalist family who have had their loved one killed as a result of a conflict?
I would assume that they would say yes. Let's move on to the next item.
I'd like to hear you ask that question.
Okay, well, that's a fair point. Let's move on to this next one. Who, in your view, would represent loyalism at talks with James Brokenshire?
Well, I think there's an obvious structure there.
Would it be you?
If you let me finish, I think there's an obvious structure there that the Secretary of State should and could engage with, and that is the Loyalist Communities Council. You know, it's not for me to say or to set the priorities or to set the agenda for the LCC, but I think it's an obvious structure that the Secretary of State should be engaging with. And yet there has been no attempts to reach out to the LCC, as far as I'm aware, in relation to the legacy of the past. And I ask the question, why? Why is that? Where else in the world would you have such a serious and vital protagonist, however you judge it, locked out of a process, cut out of discussions, and not in the room making sure that they are contributing to a process that can deliver for everyone?
You say no involvement of loyalism, no legacy deal, but can you realistically stop this from happening if all other parties involved agree on a way forward?
Well, I just can't imagine how a process is going to work without one of the main protagonists involved in the process. I just can't see.
It could be that they do get a result. It just might be a result that you're not happy with because you feel like the loyalism has been locked out.
I think that sounds like paying lip service to the victims and survivors community. That's what that sounds like to me, that anything will do, you know, that kick this can down the road for as long as possible and maybe perhaps, you know, people will go away. I don't think this issue will go away. We need to face up to it. We need to deliver for people and not be glib about it, or I'm not trying to be twee about this. People need to be absolutely clear about what it is they expect from this process, because we know and we have heard it many times from people within the legal profession, from people at senior positions within the PSNI. There are very limited opportunities for judicial outcomes of any legacy process, and yet there is this huge expectation out there within the community that we're going to see people being held to account through the courts. I just don't see that one. I just don't see that happening.
Okay, last question for you, Winston. Last week at the British-Irish Association conference, James Brokenshire, he said the following. He said, "My purpose is to implement fully and faithfully all parts of the Stormont House Agreement, and I believe it is right there. Should be a public chance to comment on the detail we have developed through our many discussions. I want the public to have their say." So is that not the way for loyalists to make their views known?
Well, let's see exactly the detail of that. What I'm talking about here is being involved in the formative stages. What I'm talking about is being involved in actually the plan and design. What Mr. Brokenshire is talking about is canvassing views and opinions of expectations and of views of those within the community around this legacy process. Let's not confuse the two.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much. So that's Winston Irvine from the PUP. Joining me in studio now is the former MLA, Basil McRae. Good morning, Basil.
Morning, Billy.
Before we go any further, you come in here in a pair of crutches. I hope you're okay.
It's 6 weeks in plaster from falling off my bike.
Well, we'll talk about that shortly. What your thoughts on what you've been hearing this morning?
So we're asked the question, why are the loyalists being excluded? And the simple fact is because they don't get a mandate. This idea that you can equate protagonists along with victims, this attempt to muddy the waters just doesn't wash with people. There are plenty of people that will look after victims. They are represented. There are lots of political parties, lots of victims groups. And I have to say, just for the record, these protagonists that Winston's talking about committed some of the most heinous and horrible and terrible crimes. And if that's what you have to do to get to the negotiating table, then I don't think that's the way forward for democracy. The real issue here is we do have elections, lots of elections. Big mandates are won by political parties, and they are the ones that should go and negotiate.
Do you believe loyalism was part of the Troubles?
Absolutely.
And then, therefore, when we're trying to deal with a legacy issue, why would they not be included?
Because we're now some 18 years down the road. Had it been the case that in the first few years after the Troubles, when there was a tremendous sense of optimism, where people were prepared to accept, this is not the way forward, we're going to do something, that would have worked. But 18 years further on, loyalist paramilitaries are still seen as a blight on their communities. They do not have the support of their communities, and that's evidenced by the fact they don't get a vote. You know, we have elections, they don't get a vote. And because they cannot command support, they should not be at the table.
We'll come back to the election issue shortly, Basil, but looking back on the Troubles, all the main players at the time, so Republicans, Nationalists, Unionists and the British government, they are represented, but no loyalists. So many would say that Winston has a huge point.
So the biggest problem that I have with what I heard Winston say is this attempt to equate the victims of violence with the perpetrators of violence. This is simply not possible. There is a completely different set of people involved in this. And, you know, what are we saying here? That if we don't get the people that shot people involved,
of course,
we're going to go back to doing it again?
Yeah, Winston would say he was talking about victims in the loyalist community, which he believes that he does represent to a certain level.
And what you heard him say was a very narrow definition of people that he thought he might represent. It was loyalist, it was urban, it was working class. You could almost get down to the streets of the people that he was going to represent.
But why not represent those people?
Because those people deserve representation, but you get that from political parties
so
that have got
a mandate. They should be represented, but not through the likes of Winston Irvine or the PUP.
If You should not be at this stage in the process that be at a negotiating table because you shot or killed somebody. You should be there because you have won a mandate. So when Sinn Féin go, they go there because they have a mandate. When the DUP and the UUP go there, it's because they stood in front of the electorate and said, we will represent you. That's the move forward that we've got to now. We do not want to get to the stage where unelected, shadowy figures are in the back saying, we've got to go and do a deal. That's okay. Not the way forward.
Let's talk about mainstream unionism. Do you think that they really represent loyalists?
So, actually, some of the comments that you'd get from the community groups is that mainstream unionism is actually too close to loyalist paramilitary organisations, because there is a conundrum that you do have to go in and talk to people in the states and areas and say, what are your concerns? And you cannot do that without running up against certain people and certain organisations. So what I believe that politicians that are elected have a duty, a responsibility, and in fact do represent people from all sections of our society.
OK, well, let's look at the likes of flag protest, the dispute that's been going on for some time at Tweddell, rows with the Parades Commission, loyalists. A lot of them would say they feel like they are losing out. So if they're not included in talks with the Secretary of State, with James Brokenshire, that feeling of being sidelined and being pushed to one corner will persist.
So there's an issue about alienation. There's an issue about underachievement in education. There's an issue about social injustice. All of those things have to be dealt with in the political process. But society is made up of many different groups. The problem for some of these groups is that they have contradictory claims. So when you talk about flags, there was an alternative narrative. When you talk about Tweddell, there's different people with different opinions. And the real issue is the way that you deal with things in our society or in any society going forward is you stand for election and you get a vote. And if you don't get a vote, unfortunately, you don't have as big a say as those that do. And the mandate that the political parties get is overwhelming. You know, you can't ignore that. And in fact, it's almost wrong in a democracy to say the same people, the people that get a mandate, have got equality with people that don't. That's not the way it works in a democracy. Elect the people you want to talk for you. If you don't like the ones that you've elected, elect somebody else.
You keep talking about mandate and elections, being an elected representative, but some will say that even though maybe the likes of the PUP haven't got a mandate, but voter turnout is dropping year on year. It was just under, I think, 55% in the last election. So maybe loyalists aren't voting because they feel disillusioned. And it's not, that's a general figure there. But when you look at the different areas, you go for East Belfast 57, North Down 49, Strangford 50, East Londonderry 50. It's quite low. So there's a huge amount of people that are simply not voting, and maybe they are not voting because they think there is just no point.
Or maybe there's no one there that represents their views. But where you do have an opportunity, and the PUP did stand for election, and they got whatever vote that they got. I have to say to you, the voting figures that you outlined are exactly the same in Lagan Valley. In my constituency, that was about 52%, that there is a huge number of people that are not engaged in the political process.
53%, not that I want to correct you, but
I wasn't here, so I can only guess, but it was of that era. And the issue is, some people go, I don't want to be involved in politics because actually I'm okay with the way things are going. I don't think I want to do it, or for whatever reason. The key issue here is where you feel strongly about a situation, you should organise on the ground, you should be able to command a vote, and you should be able to go to the negotiating table.
Although
on
we are talking about 55% in the last election, so you could say it's 45%. It's probably a little bit less, but that's a lot of people is what I'm trying to say.
And I am quite firm in this, that if you don't vote, if you're not bothered to go and vote, well, then you should not expect your voice to be heard. That is the conundrum. It says every 5 years we ask you to spend about 20 minutes to go and vote. And if you can't be bothered, to get up and go and do a vote, because let's face it, you can get postal votes or you can get proxy votes. If you can't be bothered to go and vote, well, then tough. Don't expect your opinions to be heard. That's the deal in democracy.
So let's go back onto our main topic for discussion this morning. No involvement of loyalists, then no legacy deal. That are the words. They are the words from PUP's Winston Irvine. 0-30-30-80-55-55. Let's go to Councillor John Scott on the line. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Vinnie.
Your thoughts on what you've heard so far this morning?
Well, first of all, I'm also the mayor of Antrim and Newton Abbey. 2-3 weeks ago, my secretary in the council got a phone call from James Brokenshire's secretary. He would like to meet with me for 1 hour on a one-to-one, just the two of us. And I represent the area of Rathcoole, Rathfern, all around that area, all working-class area. And, I mean, the PUP has a small mandate there. Billy Hutchison's there. There's Dr. Cade, he's there in East Belfast. But for Finney to say it's wrong, but there's no one representing the loyalist people and victims and survivors.
No, I didn't say that there wasn't. I just asked the question.
No, I'm saying Vinny or
Winston.
Winston said that. Yes. Winston said it.
You said Vinny, you're going to get me in trouble, but go ahead, John.
Well, I got that mixed up, but it was Winston said it. But about victims and survivors, my niece was killed in the Shankill bomb. I was representing that morning talking the loyalist people, the victims who were murdered, who were injured. After my niece was killed in the Shankill bomb, a few months later, a few weeks later maybe, my other niece was driving down the Springfield Road and the UVF were shooting at a minibus with prisoners' wives. They missed the minibus, hit her car and hit her, and she was in the hospital for months. Now, that's going way back 20 years and she still suffers with the pain and agony what happened. So for Winston to say that there's no one there representing the loyalist people. I was to meet James Brokenshire for 1 hour and I met him at 11 o'clock and he didn't leave me till nearly 3 o'clock.
You feel you're from the UUP, John, so do you
I'm an Ulster Unionist councillor, yes.
Yeah, but do you feel that you and your party do represent loyalists?
Vinny, what am I saying to you? I represent the loyalist area. I'm elected. I've been elected for the last 12 years. And yes, I represent loyalists of every shade, every sort, and victims. Yes, I represent them. And I put that in the Ulster Unionist mandate to the loyalist people, and they vote me in.
Do you think, is it a very negative thing? Does it take a step backward for the likes of the PUP not to be involved in those talks?
Well, I think they should be involved in the talks because Billy Hutchison has a mandate. Dr. Cade has a mandate.
Yeah, but the loyalists and say that the loyalist council, for them not to be involved in these talks.
That's up to James Brokenshire. That's okay. Up to him who he speaks to. But he needs to speak to everybody that's been involved in the conflict. But it's wrong for Winston to say that there is no one representing the working class people.
Okay, we'll leave it there for now, John.
I was born and bred on the Shankill Road. I don't live there now, but I know the needs and the rights of the working class people.
Okay.
And I represent those.
Okay, we'll take more calls on this. 030-30-80-55-55. Martin, good morning.
Good morning, Finny.
Go ahead.
Look, I just phoned up. I'm from the Irish community. I would regard myself as an Irish Republican. And I have to say that it's not often that I agree with Winston Irvine, but I agree with everything that he said this morning. All groups should be involved in this. The Loyalists were a major combatant, a major player in it, and they have their role to play. If we want to lance this boy once and for all, then everyone needs to be involved.
Basil?
Well, I just don't agree. I'm sorry, but if your only reason for being at the negotiation table is because you shot somebody, then I don't think that's good enough. What you actually have is a democratic process now where everybody stands for election. And as we've just heard from the previous contributors, they do get a mandate and they do represent the views of their area. We want to support and enhance democracy. We want to make democracy work because that's better than the alternative. And that's what we should be doing in this process.
Yeah, but with all due respect, Basil, when the war on the ground was fought, no one really cared about mandates at that time. And whether we like it or not, the loyalists were involved in that war. And they inflicted pain and they received pain in return. Now, if the ultimate goal of this is to finally lance this poisonous boil of the past, then nobody should be excluded.
Well, that's the point that we keep coming back to, Basil.
If they had had 18 years where they had put the past behind them, that they had worked in their community, that they had built community support, that they had gone off and done all of the good and positive things, then I'm quite sure that they would have got a mandate. You know, that people would have said, I know the difficulty that you're in the past.
Yes. Although you're very much generalising on the loyalist community there, but to try and move forward, to get over the past, if we want this information retrieval, if we want to move forward, then surely, Basil, do we not just include everyone in it? Everyone has their say, and we all try and come to some kind of collective agreement in terms of what to do next.
So if you'd earned your place, if you had the truth recovery before, if you'd had in the last 18 years, you'd been engaged and talking to people and